हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, so page 37. For those bewildered by your flute, verse 40, what is the use of welcoming words, etc., expressed in verses 18 to 25? What is the use of asking what pleases us, and what is the use of enlightening us about Dharma? Your beauty is auspicious for the three worlds. This answers verses 26 to 27. Why consider this improper? The bhava keeps increasing. Your attraction is astonishing. Even the animals develop ecstasy. Thus, there's no fault in approaching you because of attraction. You have appeared to destroy the fear and suffering of Raja. This answers verse 18, is Raja well? Verse 19 through 20, verse 22, and verses 24 to 25. Fear is not possible because of you. You are the Lord, Devaha. This answers verses 26 to 27. You have no fault in associating with us, since you are affectionate to the miserable. Thus we shall have no fault from that association with the Adi Purusha. All faults of material association involving material illicit relationships are denied since the Lord, since as the Lord, he is the husband. This should actually be the goal. Right, so they're pointing out is that he's so attractive, so then why we should bring up all these other points? Because he's the most attractive, then all other aspects of whether things are auspicious or not, whether there's fear or not, any of these things are already answered by just this point of that their great attraction for him and he being the original person. Then the relationships with him, those are the original. All others are based on that. So then there's no fault in them associating with him because he's the original person. Yeah. Place your hand on our breasts. This answers verse 18. Please tell me what you want. We are servants. King Kari Nam. This answers verse 23. We have come. Yeah, it means what we... Well, yes. We have come for special service. For servants, seeing the forest is a secondary goal. Seeing Krishna is the main goal. Please bestow what we have long requested. Right? So the primary goal is seeing Krishna. Secondary goal is then seeing the forest, because that's a very ideal situation in which to see Krishna. Right? We see that it's also as these secondary aspects that that remind them of Krishna, that they remember Krishna, will be seeing the forest. Why? Because in the forest, then they serve Krishna. So Krishna is the main, and then you have on top of that, then that's being done in the forest, that's the ideal place, because it's out of way, no one else is there, because of all the reasons he mentioned before, the wild animals, this, that, it's night, it's dark, so no one's going out. So then it's the perfect place to serve Krishna. Yes.
So that place where now the town of Vrindavan, actually nobody lived there at that time.
No.
So it was just the forest.
Yes, that would be that area where the Jamuna comes down and then goes around. So it's kind of like a half circle.
Yeah.
Like that. So that area, that's Govindastali. Right? That whole area there is where the Rasa dance. That's one of the main places for Rasa dance. So that's where this one's going on.
Vamsivatam.
Yeah, it's around Vamsivat would be the center of that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where he plays the flute. But where he met them was a little away from that. He would have come up more because the Jamuna comes and goes around as it is now. But there's also a bit that comes and goes in front. Means would be up, you know, let's say, I'm not sure exactly where, but, you know, somewhere more like where our temple is.
Oh, okay.
You know, like the Parakram path there. Mm-hmm. Somewhere like that, that would go across and connect that, east, the northern part where it comes in to the southern part that's closer to Mathura. So it's very shallow. You can walk across it, but it's still water.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So then that area between that, so it's like Jamuna's on all sides, but it's only deep on three sides, only on the one side it's shallow. But then that's the area for the rasa dance. Does that make sense? Yeah, now it's built up, all that, the acharyas, you know, the temples were there. That was the first thing there, was the temples. And then from that, everything else grew, because the temples are there, so the Brahmins have to have a place to live, so then they have their I think they call them agaras, like that, where they stay. Then from that, then as soon as you have something happening, then the business people see the opportunity, they move in, they make all the bazaars, and then it just turns into a whole thing. So, yes, so that was what's originally there. And so that area was also originally, I think, given by Man Singh to Jiva Goswami. He actually owned it, so that nothing else could happen there. So there's four trees, Vamsivat, Sringarvat, Imli Tala, and I'm not sure what's the fourth one. But that area there, that was Jiva Goswami's. It was actually, he had the deeds for it. They gave him that, so, you know, with the idea that no one else could come there and claim it or try to do anything with it because of its sacredness, because that's where all the acharyas were, all the Goswami's were there, those main pastimes were there. So then that was given. Like that. What happened after that, I don't know, but that's what happened at that time. Like that. Yeah? So yes. So that's the area. Yes.
So when you go to Vrindavan, then the Pujari say that there are many rasa sthalis which we have darshan of.
Yes, but I'm saying that's the one. That's Govindastali. There's one at Govardhan. There's, I think, one at what do you call it? Sanket. There's different places, but that one's the Govindastali. So for this Maharas, it happens there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just wherever they like to. It's just wherever is going to be the meeting. So it's already arranged beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
So then everybody knows they go to there. It means everybody who's supposed to know goes there. And everybody else goes somewhere else thinking it's going to happen there. It doesn't. Yes. Okay, so in other words, seeing the forest, because he's asking, so you came to see the forest, you know, because they were looking around because of their anger. But the point is not about seeing the forest, it's about the forest is the perfect place to serve Krishna. Right? Just like the kitchen is the perfect place to cook for Krishna. But it's about cooking for Krishna, pleasing Krishna, serving Krishna. Then the kitchen is the best place for that. So, serving Krishna in the rasa dance, then the best place for that is the forest. So that's why the forest is important. Does that make sense? So the primary and secondary there. Please be so, we have long requested. When your words of welcome, then your words of welcome would be meaningful. Because he opened with a welcoming. But it was not exactly what they were expecting. So the point is he welcomed them, but if this is all in place, then only it has meaning. Otherwise, not so much meaning. What more can be said? The work will become too long. Right? So therefore now Sanatan Goswami is ending here because he says, what more can be said? Now already, you know, head is spinning from all this, but he says, the work will become too long. In other words, he could keep going on all the different things. But he's not. The finer points are like this. The meaning of each part can be different according to one's taste. For persons enjoying the mercy of the lotus feet of the Lord who is affectionate to the gopis, the words that the gopis and Krishna exchange and their meanings have been explained recklessly with unintelligence, understood from the heart for the pleasure of the devotees. So, So we see here as they take that humble position, but why have they done that? To please the devotees. So they've done their best from without their intelligence, just from the feelings of their heart. So it may be reckless in that these things may or may not should be spoken, but he has spoke them just to please the devotees. So we see here that aspect of humility, but it's still dynamic. Right, the modern concept, you become humble, you become useless, because that's the whole idea. You know, it's like the dog, you just roll over. Right? You know, so it's not like that. Right? Reckless because it's us who's listening to it. Right? You know, that's the recklessness. Versus, because Prabhupada's told us to study these things, therefore we are. But otherwise, whether we're qualified or not, that's another discussion. But on the basis that the acharya has said, therefore we're doing.
Maharaj?
Yes.
Now we're discussing the rasa-tattva in so much in detail. So, aren't Kanishtha Adhikaris qualified to your...
Are Kanishtha Adhikaris qualified? The point is that hearing about Krishna is always auspicious. It's just a matter of just being pleased to hear about the glories of Krishna. We shouldn't start speculating on this one's better than that one, and this that stuff we shouldn't do. That then comes out to be the ultra-crepidarian aspect, where, you know, we should stick to the shoes. Right? Don't make points above the shoes. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that we have to be very careful about. You know, that's why then the Krishna book is the most perfectly safe work, because then we don't so much analyze. We just listen to the story. We're happy with the story. But when the acharyas start to analyze, then we tend to get into that bob, and it may not work out as good. So it may be that the reckless will be there, but it's not necessarily understood from the heart, and it's not the pleasure of the devotees. It's just reckless and trying to understand with the intelligence, though we don't have that intelligence.
Then what is the point, anyway?
Then what is the point?
Yeah,
this is exactly the point I was making.
Because, yeah, I got it.
Okay, that's the point I'm making.
Yeah.
Is we've come here to hear about the glories of the Lord, and that's what we do. When we start to analyze, then why, you know, where that, how are we qualified to make that statement?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? We could make the statement, "Oh, I'm not qualified," and then not hear. But the point is by hearing, then that's the point. That's why it's been discussed. The acharyas are revealing more, so that we can appreciate. So we should just appreciate the greatness of it and understand our position is not as advanced as would be ideal. Does that make sense? Yeah. Verses 42 to 48. Enjoyment on the bank of the Jamuna and the pride of the gopis. Sukadeva Goswami said, smiling upon hearing these despondent words from the gopis, Lord Krishna, the supreme master of all masters of mystic yoga, mercifully enjoyed with them, although he is self-satisfied. Footnote 13. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verse 42 to Bhagavad Akramichimala, chapter 20, entitled The Sweetness of Rasa, Rasa Madhurima, which is in the Prayojana section of the Thakur's books. Right? So just that sweetness, that interaction, that's the focus that we see here. It's not showing the variety like before, all the different things. He's killing the demons, he's playing with the cowherd boys, he's doing all these different aspects that themselves are such variety. That's the variety of the rasa. Right? But here is just the sweetness of the rasa, just that niceness that's there from him appreciating their mood, them appreciating Krishna and the ideal situation, and so just that aspect, that's the point that's there. Yeah. So we see here is that the gopis in here, they understand the position, they understand the philosophy, they know who he is from that aspect, but that's not their interest. Right? We see others, they may become a little bit bewildered at his position, but then they work it out. Even if it points to that he's the Supreme Lord, then they'll bring it back to he's like the Supreme Lord, but actually he's just a kid. He's our kid, right? So that's the main thing that comes out. They don't take it further. Right? Yes.
So although gopis, they know perfectly Krishna's position, it doesn't stimulate their rasa. Some sense, his sweetness, his personality stimulates them.
Yes, that's all. The point is they know, see, it's like this, they know he's independent. They know he's Atmarama. But out of his kindness, then he interacts with them. That's Karunya. You understand? That's why it has that aspect. That's why then the masculine position has that Atmarama, but is acting within rasa. Right? So if the masculine acts within Atmarama, not within rasa, then where's the position to interact? But he's Atmarama and he's acting within. That's the specialness. You know, because that makes it actually fully masculine and fully feminine. Otherwise, if the masculine is dependent upon the feminine, then it's not actually the strongest point of masculine and feminine. It's more, the proportions aren't good enough. So that's why in the Vedic system, the more knowledgeable, the more detached the masculine nature is. And at the same time, performing one's duties and doing all the interaction perfectly, that's the proper position. Because it gives the best of the interaction. At the same time, it's aware that it doesn't need to be there. Does that make sense?
It doesn't need to be there? Means it doesn't have to be there?
It means the man doesn't have to interact. That's what I mean. Just like, let's take the modern context, since we're looking at So in the modern context, the men and women will associate, right? You know, quote unquote, associate, right? And so, in there, are they trying to show their best?
Yeah.
Right. And that will continue up to which point? That they always try to show their best. And after a certain point, then they'll relax and may or may not as they please. What's that moment called?
The intimacy.
Yes, no, but I'm just saying, huh?
Marriage.
You know what I'm saying? Because then that sense of possession is so strong that you feel, now I can just relax, be myself. I'm not trying to impress. You know, because now it's one's confident of the relationship, one is secure. So then, because before it's that, you understand?
Yeah.
So then, but why is that happening? Because this is a modern thing. In the Vedic thing, you don't see that. It means you can see it, but I'm saying we see here with the Acharyas and the great kings and other things, we don't. Why? Because that aspect of the man being self-satisfied at the same time as performing his duties as a grihastha and therefore doing everything very nicely and very considerately, then that point is then, what does that mean? Can you sit back and relax? No. So that means the girl's always trying. So the point is that trying, that's the fun part. When you just sit back and, you know, it's, I say, fait accompli, then that's not as nice. You understand? So in the Vedic sense, then if they're married for 30 years as a grihastha, then that's 30 years of always trying to impress. Always trying to be at your best. So it's always, it's a much better position. Then, when they relax, is at vanaprast. Because then there's no need to impress, no need, you just now, what works, you do that. And so then you're happy. And so then just sadhana becomes the main thing, and then they're like companions. Right? So that impress part goes down, they can be companions, but it's not familiarity. Does that make sense? So it's actually a very perfect system. So here, because Krishna is in that position, they know it's by his mercy that he's interacting, because he doesn't have to. But because as the principal, as the Supreme Lord, he interacts with everybody how they surrender, since they've surrendered like this, then it's appropriate that he would interact with them. You understand?
It's actually very scary, because we came from a position when we wanted to escape the tension and apparently the Krishna consciousness, but then the intensity of Krishna consciousness, not many can handle it actually, because people came to relax, but there's no...
Well, that's Artha. That's the Artha part. Artha or Artarti. You know. So it's just a matter of to relax, because the material world is so special. But the difference is the fullness in Krishna consciousness, that's the natural taste for the soul. So therefore it's intense, it's not a problem. Just like, let's say, someone has a situation that they like, right? And so that situation, even though the reason they like it, it has a certain intensity. Like, let's say, someone goes mountain climbing. You know, they go out and where they just climb up the bare face with their hands and stuff like that. So for them, that's relaxing, right? But for someone else, that would be total, you know, anxiety. So someone else, they go for a walk or go for a drive or go for, you know, whatever it is. But someone else going out for a walk means then you're out in public, people will see you, you have to dress up, you have to do all the different things. And so depending upon who it is, what one person calls relaxing, another one would call anxiety. Right? So the point is for the soul to be absorbed in interaction with Krishna, that's the natural point of relaxation. That's where that's where that natural intensity is. But that intensity is not a problem. Well, the intensity of the material world, since it's not actually akin to the soul, then that actually creates problems. Though we think, no, if I adjust it and that, it'll stop creating problems. But it's just, that's just the way it is. It doesn't matter. Right? If I'm scared of cars and going out driving in cars, then whatever car I go out in, I'll be scared. But if I think, oh, if I just do that, or if I put in seat bolts, oh, if I put in a roll cage, what if we put in, you know, all these different things, and, you know, we can come out, what if we drive backwards, you know. It's just, we'll keep coming up with it, but no, because it's a car, it'll be a problem. Right? So therefore, the intensity that's there, if we do it, it's actually, you'll find, that's where the relaxing is. It's a fullness that we like. Otherwise, we will create the fullness. We will create the tension. That's what, you know, social interaction is. We'll make it. We'll have, just like the guys to relax. He goes out into the garage and does something. But, you know. You know, if we tell you, go in the garage and clean it up, oh, now it's an anxiety. But if you just want to get away and do something, you go into the garage and fix something or clean it up or do it, that, then it's relaxing. So it's just a state of mind. They say, relaxation is a state of mind. So it's not actually the situation. Is that... Yeah.
Can we say that because Krishna consciousness pushes to have a real relationship, and because we must interact in a relationship, and that puts us in anxiety because we are kind of impersonalists? And
yes, and means we're personal in that it's about us. Yeah. We're impersonal in that everybody else is generic, right? We're the substance, everybody else is the general. Right, so like that's what you're saying. Yes, that's the point. That's what, especially if you're not following the Vedic culture. So generally, you see, is the Vedic culture, then the personal aspect, the relationships, that the standard thing is that in the family they have 50 different relationships and they all have names. and they all have different standard interactions, what you do with who and what and like that, it's not an anxiety for them because of that, more personal. And then any culture you see that has kind of either as a derivative of that or, you know, has more of a basis in religion, then they have a tendency towards that more. They can extend it a bit further. You know, instead of just themselves, they can extend the family. Then they're impersonal. You know what I'm saying? So it's just a matter of yeah, so when we get into the modern where it's anti-authority and anti-tradition, they'll have the maximum problems in dealing with relationships. So they work out these nice little cute things where certain words, certain this, certain behaviors, and everybody's good, and then they're all happy because then at all times, all places, all circumstances, they can maintain that impersonal flavor. And it does it. So then they can feel comfortable, you know, like that. But yes, it's the impersonal.
Well, yes. Can we say it is all because of modern education, we are always only learning but not doing any service, because of which even after when one gets into relationships also, it is only for time being, it is only self-centeredness. So once he gets what he wanted, immediately he wants to again exploit. Rather in Vedic, all the while he is doing for others.
Yeah, it means there's a higher principle. In other words, you study because that's what you're supposed to do. We're studying because we want the benefit from it. Yeah, you'll have. Means it doesn't mean that the Vedic can't be used materially. That's how the pious half of the universe functions. Is that they use the Vedic because they know it's the best. But they're using it for sense gratification because they think sense gratification is the best. While others will use it because it's the best because it'll give them liberation. While others then will apply it to please Krishna's bhakti. Yeah, the modern education is meant specifically to break down the Vedic culture, right? Because that's what was seen in the early 1800s. You know, the Brits came in the 1700s. And they could get some control, you know, just by they had cannons and, you know, they had that kind of stuff. They could get some control. But they couldn't. But once they had control, then there's always the thing is you have to improve the quality of life of the savages, right? Because whatever we do, that's what's important for the universe. And so then the savages, they're holding on to this Hindu viewpoints and they're not moving forward to the more advanced levels of, they say. So then they saw that they couldn't control them because of this. They were so fixed in their faith in the scriptures and everything like that. So they would take part on the economic platform. But on the other, the social and their lifestyle, they wouldn't take part in the British lifestyle. They had no interest. So then they figured out as well, we can't change the whole country, but we could change those who can change the country. So therefore then they opened up, which wasn't before, they opened up their educational system, you know, the British educational system, to the, you know, the aristocracy in India. So those who were the elite in India, then they opened it for them. And so then they started that, and then after, you know, that whole generation went through and got trained, now they were, you know, they had the culture of the one, but they started to think from the value system of the British. Right? But what they didn't really understand would happen is just like the Brits, they want to be independent and do their own thing and all that. And they didn't like authority, right? They had the king and all that, and then what was it, Cromwell or whatever it is came along and then made some trouble and all that. So then they didn't realize that by studying that same history, all that, the same value system, all it's about yourself instead of just it's about duties. Because their thing is this duty, they serve whoever's the government. So they're doing that, but they won't follow the lifestyle, but they'll do their service. Then they understood is no, we don't have to follow. We can rebel. We can do what we like. So then that generation, they started the Swaraj movement to start Indian independence. You know, it took 100 years. But the point was, is they got it. So basically they shot themselves in the foot, the British. But the point is the system that was introduced into India was designed to destroy the value system of the Vedic culture, right? And that same educational system then, you know, how you say, voluntarily went on boats over to America and not so voluntarily went on boats over to Australia, right? But we have to say, is voluntarily they went to New Zealand, right? So, therefore, it's one of the points of its how it's constructed is to destroy the Vedic version, right? And the German scholars and others, they got into it, and then the British hired them to make translations and interpretations of the Vedic literatures to make them look ridiculous. So the modern system, so that's where the Indology department came from. Indology department was meant to destroy the Vedic culture. Right? And as we see, most everybody who goes into that department, then they follow suit. You understand? Because that's what it was for. So the whole thing is yes, the modern education is designed to do that. We can say is that it's just much of it has just happened. People don't even think about that now because they're so far away. But there was a point in the late 1700s and 1800s where they specifically designed it to do that. And that's what's carried on. That tradition is carried on. So it is designed like that. It is designed that it's just about the occupation. It is about their value system. That's why Prabhupada says slaughterhouse education. It's not actual, real education. It may get you a job, but it doesn't make you a human. You know, it's like this saying, it was a gold, I think I mentioned this before, it was a gold mine somewhere, I think, in Central or South America. Very famous at one point. Huge amount of, it was a big, you know, mine. But it was in a very inaccessible place, so it wasn't mined by machineries. It was mined just by human hands. People go in and then just get that dirt and put it in sacks and then walk it out. And the conditions, since it was, you know, it's, you know, quite rainy, muddy, and all this kind of stuff. And so then, you know, those conditions along with the greed for gold, because wherever gold is and that's where it's hoarded, then Kali Raj can, you know, take place. So then there was a local saying that so many men go into this place, but no men ever come out. Meaning that what comes out is not a man anymore, it's an animal. Like that. They just lose all their good qualities. You understand? So, that's why Prabhupada calls it slaughterhouse education. That's what it's for. It's for making sure that you do not become human. That's his actual purpose. And we're so foolish, we think it's good. We'll get some value from it. You know what I'm saying? Yes?
I see the difficulty is that we're quite satisfied with shallow relationships. But mature relationships actually very demanding. And we can see the progression from Shanta up to Madhurja. Now Krishna is very demanding to the gopis. It's a play, but still he wants them more than surrender. He wants them to reject everything. And it's very difficult actually.
But what's the benefit?
Association with the Lord.
But on what level of reciprocation? How does it compare to anything else?
On the top level.
Yeah. So it's just like anything. Let's say you have the Honda, I mean, that means the Fiat 500, you know, or you have the Ferrari, you know. So the whole point is one there's no demands. The other one there is, but what's the benefit in the experience? You understand?
Yeah.
So it's just like that. Business, you just have some little thing. It's that. You have these big multinational things. It's the intensity is greater. So therefore, then what they gain from it is more. So it's just a matter. They're showing that their position, their topmost position. So that's what we appreciate, is that we're seeing why they're the topmost. Not just it's the gopis and yeah, this and that, and we, you know, have all that sentimental and kind of thing like that. Is this is why they're the topmost. They are willing to give up everything that we're not and surrender to Krishna. Because if you see that, then our what position we are willing to surrender at, then we see is that there's more. And so we'll move forward. Otherwise, the tendency is that we won't. We'll be satisfied. You know, whatever position we're at, we're satisfied. Because as a conditioned living entity, we have a tendency to be quite comfortable with our conditioning. We just want to get rid of the bad parts of it and keep the good parts. But here, devotional service means giving up conditioning, both good and bad. Because the service to Krishna, then is all good. The good is better, and the bad is also better. So even the seemingly not nice positions are so wonderful because it's connected to Krishna. Well, in the material world, then anything we don't consider nice is not nice because, you know, we don't see it connected to us. But the point is everything's Krishna. Connecting to Krishna, it becomes perfect. Yeah, so that's the point. He mercifully enjoyed with them, although he is self-satisfied. So that's brought out, because that's the whole dynamic. Right? Does that make sense? Let's say, okay, there's... not necessarily a great example, but let's say at Buckingham Palace, okay? And there's something you can go. There's a standard tour that goes, you know, from 2 to 4. You can come there, get in your line, pay your ticket, go in with the guy, take a round, and this and that. Okay, that's something that you can do. And it's nice. But now let's say that there's someone who works in the place, and there's some off time, let's say they've all gone to, you know, another one of the palaces or something. And they can take you in and take you around something you're not supposed to be there. Is that not going to be a better tour? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's the point, is the opposites are what make it better. The greater the opposites, the better the happiness. You know, it's just like the more hungry you are, the better the food tastes. So if the distance between your hunger and the food is very small, the pleasure is less. But if it's very great, then it's more. Does that make sense? So therefore here, he's the most masculine, they're the most feminine. Therefore there's the greatest interaction. So he being self-satisfied, but he mercifully enjoys with them, then that creates the greatest point. So they don't have to take up any masculine aspect. They can just be feminine, because he's fully masculine.
Another point, it seems that the Atmarama feature, it's more towards the Paramatma than Bhagavan.
No, it's him as a person, he's self-satisfied. When he takes on the aspects, you could say, of God, that you would say is more like the Paramatma aspect, that feature. But here, Atmarama, he is himself Atmarama. But to expand his pleasure, then he expands his energies. So he as a person is Atmarama. Then he expands his energies. And then he interacts with his energies based on rasa. So he expands the rasa. Means the taste of Atmarama is there, but then it's more when you add in that sense of possession. Right? And then, because that's added in, then there's going to be... So for the spiritual nature, then that's going to be fine. For the material nature, that's going to be fine. But for the jivas, then because they are tatastha, they can choose. Then those who don't choose wisely, then his features, Paramatma and Brahman, then they are, you know, expanded so that that can be appreciated. But otherwise, the Atmarama position is actually him as his the Lord. Means you can say on one sense that, but at the same time as here, because we're in the pastimes, then there's no need. So, because that's the point. He is all these different flavors. Yeah.
Maharaj, in Vaikuntha, he is perfectly displaying the Atmaram principle over there, because there you have only Dasya and Vishantarasa.
He's perfectly displaying it. He's perfectly displaying it always.
Because here in Vraja, he expands the rasa, you know, by adding it to the Atmaram. So then now,
but in Vaikuntha, there's no expansion of rasa. If he's Atmarama, is there any expansion of anything? He and his energies are non-different. He's enjoying, you know, being himself. Where's the manifestation? There is no Vaikuntha. So it's only when he expands his internal potency, then you have the all the spiritual pastimes, including Vaikuntha.
But the amount of, I mean, that is...
This is what we're talking about. You know what I'm saying? Because we see here is the what do you call it? Not the French one. Not the liberty, fraternity, equity. It's the other one. We said it the other day.
Yeah. Pursuit of happiness.
Huh? Yes. Oh, yes. Life, was it?
Liberty,
pursuit of happiness. Yeah, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But we change something for life. Oh well, but you know, our own life means our own position, whatever we're going to do, liberation, or you know, here the liberty, and then the pursuit of happiness, that we're going to be happy. So we're always bringing them down into that kind of a position. Oh no, that was it was about opulence, about the Vaikuntha aspect. Can't remember what word we used. So
majesty.
No, it was something else that we used. So,
Aishwarya.
Yeah, no, but I used it in the class with those three. So whichever one I used. So. Where we try to judge everything that opulence is higher than sweetness, logic is higher than rasa. You know, the dharma is higher than the spontaneous position. You know, vaidhi is higher, like this, and so therefore, what goes along with that? Then we're always trying to bring that out as a higher position. We have to try to avoid that. Means those kind of things work nicely in the first nine cantos, or at least the first six, and you know what I'm saying. It doesn't come out so strange. But then here, then we have the point that because we're dealing with the intimate aspects of Krishna and his devotees, then it's a matter of appreciating what's going on, right? So. Any analyzation we do is so that we can see and appreciate more, rather than have doubts. It's supposed to be about seeing that this is what it is, how to appreciate, how to understand the principle, how does that principle evolve in my life. They're giving up everything. All I have to do is engage my house in Krishna's service, right? They're giving up their house. All I have to do is engage it in Krishna's service. But I will tend to not, I'll engage in my service, but by seeing the surrender of the residents of Vrindavan and of the gopis, then I see is that actually Krishna's more important, so I try to give up that attachment to all these things and use them nicely in Krishna's service. Right? So we have logic. Logic, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So, we have to try to appreciate what's going on here. There may be a doubt, yes, but the doubt can't be that there's something wrong. The doubt should be, I don't understand how to apply it or use it or bring it across and see the difference between the secondary and the primary. And when we doubt the position, then it comes up that, you know, it's just something we're supposed to be careful about. You know? Does that make some sense? That's what the nine cantos are for. Okay. So, yeah. Srila Sanatana Goswami comments. Being merciful, he enjoyed with them while wiping away their tears with his hand. He could not have been indifferent with a false smile. He had great affection for them because they were gopis, qualified for his mercy, having special prema. He smiled at their sad words, which they uttered because they did not know his intentions and because he had hidden meanings in his words. Right? Because he had done that on purpose just to get them to speak openly. Like that. And because they had this love, he just wanted to increase that. And then in tasting that they had said it openly. Because when it's said in a hidden way, it has one taste. When it's said in an open way, it has another taste. But the point is it's all about that love and affection that they have. So now, you know, so it's not, he's not just indifferent and doing this as a show. The point is it's real. He has real affection for them because they have affection for him. Sukadeva Goswami continued, among the assembled gopis, the infallible Lord Krishna appeared just like the moon surrounded by stars. He whose activities are so magnanimous made their faces blossom with his affectionate glances, and his broad smiles revealed the effulgence of his jasmine bud-like teeth. Srila Sanatana Goswami comments, four verses describe how he enjoyed, showing how he is the promoter of the enjoyment. The verse describes a special beauty in relation to then, when love arises, using an example. They gathered together, coming very close to him, or they met him, after giving up their anger, or the gopis had met with Radha, Sama, she who is endowed with the greatest beauty, Ma. This means that in the beginning when the gopis and Krishna spoke, Radha was not present. When Krishna ceased to hide his intentions, she appeared. He was surrounded by them and was unconquered by desire, achutaha. 14. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that Krishna is referred to as achuta, without failure. Here, because without failure, he was able to give pleasure to each of the gopis. Right? So, he wanted to interact with them. They had this special love for them. He wants to interact with them. Therefore, then, he is showing that he is interacting with each one of them. So it's not that he will fail in making them happy. So therefore he's called Achyuta. Sukadeva Goswami continued, as the gopis sang his praises, that leader of hundreds of women sang loudly in reply. He moved among them, wearing his Vaijayanti garment, beautifying the Vrindavan forest. The BBT purport states, according to Srila Jiva Goswami, Lord Krishna sang many wonderful melodies and meters, and the gopis accompanied him, following his lead. Krishna's singing on this occasion is described in the Sri Vishnu Purana. Krishna's sach chandram chandramasham kaumudim kaumudakaram Jagau gopi janas tvekam Krishna nama puna punaha. Krishna sang the glories of the autumn moon, the moonshine and the lotus-filled river, while the gopis simply sang his name repeatedly. Sukadev Goswami continued. Sri Krishna went with the gopis to the bank of the Jamuna, where the sand was cooling and the wind, enlivened by the river's waves, bore the fragrance of lotuses. There Krishna threw his arms around the gopis and embraced them. He aroused Cupid in the beautiful young ladies of Braja by touching their hands, hair, thighs, belts, and breasts, by playfully scratching them with his fingernails, and also by joking with them, glancing at them and laughing with them. In this way, the Lord enjoyed his pastimes. The gopis became proud of themselves for having received such special attention from Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and each of them thought herself the best woman on earth. Srila Sanatana Goswami writes, "Now begins the description of the special rasa of separation, produced in order to have special play later with intense prema. They had received respect from Krishna, even though he was Atmarama, Mahatmanaha. By his manifestation of special love skills, because of this they became proud, because he manifested his powers in order to experience special rasa, Bhagavataha, since he was an ocean of great variegated rasa, Krishnat, or the supreme attractor of hearts. Each one being proud, Mani Yaha, thought that she was the best among all the women existing on earth. Thus they became proud." Sukadev Goswami concluded, "Lord Krishna, seeing the gopis too proud of their good fortune, wanted to relieve them of this pride and show them further mercy. Thus he immediately disappeared." Footnote 15. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verse 48 to Bhaga Arkramichimala, chapter 20, entitled The Sweetness of Rasa, Rasa Madhurima, which is in the Prayojana section of the Thakur's book. So their pride, how much they're surrendered to him, how much they're doing, but then that pride is there. So to increase, to bring it to a higher level, then he disappeared. So it's already at a wonderful level, but then to bring it to a more level, because he's unlimited, so everything expands unlimitedly.
This pride is man, not the third step.
Pride is man. No, because man means anger.
Man is anger.
Yeah, it means it has a pride to it, of course, but this is not that. They just became proud that they're the most fortunate. They're the best. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, "The gopis, however, soon began to feel very proud, thinking themselves to be the most fortunate women in the universe due to being favored by the company of Krishna. Lord Krishna, who is known as Keshava, could immediately understand their pride caused by their great fortune of enjoying him personally. And in order to show them his causeless mercy and curb their false pride, he immediately disappeared from the scene, exhibiting his opulence of renunciation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is always full with six kinds of opulences, and this is an instance of the opulence of renunciation. This renunciation confirms Krishna's total non-attachment, right, that aspect of Atmarama, because he can be, that's one of his opulences. He is always self-sufficient and is not dependent on anything. This is the platform on which his transcendental pastimes are enacted." Right, so they're enacted on that platform. He's acting within this. That's taking that, maybe it's his independence that he chooses to function in this way. But the devotees, they're dependent upon him. So he's reciprocating that dependence. So it appears he's dependent upon them. Right? So that's how the rasa works. But it's his choice to be in that position. But for the living entity, that's their natural position. They have to interact with him. Yes?
It seems that the pride happened to those who came for the first time. It was their first experience. Otherwise, you know, if it's then why would they be the, you know, proud?
Proud. Yes, them or yes. Yeah, basically you could say yes. I would think that would be the main point. But later we'll see it comes up other points. Because if they think they're the best, then who are they not seeing as the best?
The best.
The best. So that's the whole point, is that that pride comes up. So yes, they would be new, or they would be in other groups or like that. So in this way, then they see. So that it has to be put into the right position. because everybody is just serving Radha and Krishna. So it has to be in that proper proportion. You know. So
still some coordination needed.
Yes. That's why then this is there, they're the most fortunate, but it's not until the actual rasa dance itself, after another few chapters, then they've come to that position and qualification to function in the rasa dance. Right. Like that. Because otherwise, how is it enhancing Krishna's, you know, ultimate pleasure? Right? It's just like this. Okay, let us say, we cook this fabulous meal. All means, let's say, it's just for the example here, so it comes out nicely. All the variety of different vegetables and condiments and everything like that, but no grain. You know what I'm saying? So you have all these nice things, but what's the real point? I have all the ingredients for a fabulous sandwich, but no bread. You know, or all the nice, I have shukta shak, I have all the dal, I have all these things, but no rice. You know what I'm saying? Or I make a nice tomato sauce and a nice white sauce, and I put them together in the pot with no lasagna sheets.
Frustrating.
Yeah, so that's the whole point. Is even though you have millions of gopis, these are just aspects. You know? The substance is Radharani. So when she's there, then it's perfect. And then as you add, so if I have rice and dal, I can eat. Then if I add a sabji to that, or some pakoras, or this, that, it just gets better and better. So that's the whole point. You could have millions of gopis, but it doesn't have any meaning unless Radha is there. So unless she's the central point. You know what I'm saying? Like, how much dal do you put on the rice?
It has to match the rice.
It matches the rice. How much sabji do I mix with the rice? You understand? So that's the whole point. Unless it's seen in connection with Radharani, it doesn't have any meaning. So at this point, they think they're the most fortunate. You know, so then how can you have a nice meal if every person who's serving thinks their preparation is the most important and are trying to give that the most? It's going to be a real mess, right? Yeah, so that's what's happening at this point. Though, you have all the perfect ingredients, but the proportion is wrong because of the pride. So that pride has to be adjusted. So that's why it's his mercy. Because they want to serve him in this way. So we could say it's okay, then they're unqualified. That means they have the qualifications, but at the same time they don't, because they can't see how it fits in. So now his mercy is that then he will leave, then that causes that separation, which then will bring them to the platform where they can see the proper proportion. How they fit in. Does that make sense? Yeah.
So Maharaj, so first some of them they couldn't go, and then they went, and then Krishna tried to send them back, and they stayed, and now Krishna disappears.
Yes.
So it's, as Prabhupada says, it's quite intense.
Yes, but it goes up. In other words, 10th canto is not for the weak-hearted. That's the whole wonderfulness of Prabhupada's purports. He brings it out and makes it so accessible. And so we can appreciate, and we can actually read through it and be very enthused. Then, you know, then we think, oh, I want more. But we think that there'll just be more of that same thing, that Prabhupada's already given that essence. So when you expand more, you're expanding into technical details. And then those technical details, then we find we may not have our adhikar may not be as good as we thought it was. So that's what's happening here. So we thought, yeah, I'm so qualified, and then Krishna lets one know that we are not as qualified as we thought. Then if that humble mood, then if we approach the 10th canto, then we can appreciate. But otherwise, yeah, I know all this stuff, and I know this pastime, and this pastime he did this, and like that kind of thing, then we've missed the whole point. It's just that simplicity of that surrender, that affection. That's what's so special. So it Brajvasis in general, and then the gopis in specific. So the whole point is can you have Parakya Ras if all there is Krishna and the gopis and space? No, right? So therefore you need some ground, and it's just some blank ground or something? No, then you need a nice forest and all this and that. But he's dancing with them, and he's supposed to be dancing with them. So then you increase that taste by they have families. You know, and to have families, then you need occupations, you need this and that. You need all these things that creates the opportunity. So the actual point is just Radha and Krishna, but to expand that taste, then everything else is expanding. So everything else that is expanded should know its position. Right? Does that make sense? Just like, let's say we go to dinner, then it's more about, it means the major thing will just be about the food or, you know, the conversation or stuff. But let's say we go to a Greek restaurant and they're having a party, then it's about breaking plates. You know, like that. They have food also, but, you know, it's breaking the plate. So the plates have played too much of a major role in this whole process. Right?
It's out of proportion.
Yes, it's out of proportion. That's why then, you know, does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
We've seen two kind of devotees that the preparation of the program takes all of their energy, and actually they can't enjoy the program. They, you know, very tired or just busy with the, you know, to supervise everything and like that. And some others somehow they manage, and then they can be present and actually experience the program. So how is it possible?
Because one is more thinking, identifying more with they're supposed to arrange it, and the other will see it as a service to arrange it. You understand? So that element of I'm the controller is more there. So as long as that is there, you can't enjoy. Right? Means on the material platform, the more I control, the more I enjoy. But on the spiritual platform, the more you control, the less you enjoy. So therefore, when you can relax and it's just a service, you know, then it's not. So you do what you can, and then, because you'll generally see is that the second one that you talked about, then if things are going along and then something goes funny, they laugh. You know, what can you do? But the other one takes it so, first one takes it so seriously, they get an anxiety. Because that, you know, so either technically they are good managers, but there should be someone above them so they don't feel that responsibility. They just get into that position. Or they're actually, you know, even though they can do the management, technically they shouldn't be. You know, or they should know how much they do and how much, you know. So if they try to do everything, you know, everyone has their position, and you just oversee. So if there's something wrong, you go to them. They should work on it. And if it's something that can't be, you can't do anything about, then, you know, don't worry about it. You just you make do with the situation as it is. So as Krishna varies the situation, then you just see what's best to please Krishna. And if you can't do anything, you just surrender to Krishna. So in that situation, you make it happen. You know, the guy forgot the kartals. You know, they have radangas, but no kartals. So you just clap hands. You know, you don't say, oh, this is can't. We can't have kirtan and completely freak out. And, you know, what are all the guys with the, you know, the tats, you know, and all that going to say about our kirtan and, you know, like that. You know, so they just have fun. So that's what I always impressed me just on that point of kirtan, of the, basically, I'm not sure exactly when, if it's 1970 or if it's 71, 70 or 69, kind of where the change is. But generally, definitely anybody from like 68 before, when it comes to kirtan, it's just a matter of kirtan. You require zero facilities, no arrangements, no plan. You just start a kirtan, and if you have stuff, it just adds to it. Well, then notice a little bit later, then you have to have all the arrangements, you have to have this, you have to have the right God. You know, everything has to be. That's what always impressed me. I think it was in, not sure where it was, if it was, it was a Kumbh Mela, but I don't remember which one. I remember Dina Bandhu Prabhu. It's just that, you know, everybody else has to, you know, get this and that organized and that. It's time for, he just starts going out and, you know, it's time, we're supposed to leave now. If anybody's there or if nobody's there, he just starts the kirtan, goes out, raises his hands, there's no car, there's no instruments, he just starts kirtan. And he's happy the whole time. Then if more people show up, it's better. You know, oh, and Murdanga came, great, you know, more people are coming singing, oh, nice, and some are dancing, it just makes it better. But I noticed that's one of those earlier devotees, it's just about kirtan, because that's what they were doing. That's all they did, you know, 10, 12 hours a day, it was Harinam. So it didn't depend upon anything. You added things on, it was good. But otherwise, they just thought kirtan was the thing, so... So that aspect where it's just the service is the, doing service is the important thing. And then that. So as two aspects that may add to this, one big manager mentioned once, I mentioned to him that they would go out preaching and then when they come back after, you know, so many weeks or months, you know, the place falls apart. And I said, you know, so doesn't that upset you that, you know, you arrange everything, then you come back and you have to completely redo it? He says, not actually. He says, because everything ran perfectly. He says, well, what would I do? What's the need for me? They could run it themselves and I should do something else. You know, so therefore, if it is falling apart, it means I got something to do. You know, that was one. And the other thing was, is I think I mentioned this before, is but. We're on the Lotus Building, first floor, looking out at the gardens. You know, now it's a bit... If one remembers before, back in the Jurassic Age, about the park, you know, there between the Lotus and the Long Building and the Bhajan Kutir, like that. So it was nicely arranged, especially in those days. Kanva Prabhu was there. He did all the gardens. So each year it was a different design. And that... And then after he left, they did the same design for the next 30 years. You know, it's just they didn't change it. You know, so like that, and you know, you have to redo the fences, redo the gardens, redo everything. It's just like it's a total mess. And so then I was saying, you know, doesn't he become disturbed? He worked so hard on that, and he made the point is that it's a natural. You can't do anything about it. You can only be in anxiety about things you can actually have an influence on. If you can't have an influence. Why be in anxiety? So therefore, it's just you wait. When the water goes down, the ground's, you know, hard enough you can walk on, then you go there, you start cleaning up, and then, you know, after a month or two, you have a nice... By the time the festival comes, then you have a beautiful garden again. You know? So that's what I mentioned. If something happens, then sometimes they just laugh. You know, it's like amazing how many things can go wrong rather than, you know... feeling so bad, it's just like, you know, it's one of those days. And so then you just relax. So it's about Krishna. So whatever happens, then it just, you just see it's Krishna. So the gopis here, then it's about Krishna. The obstacle there is still about Krishna. And then they're with Krishna. And then he leaves. And then it's still about Krishna. So at all moments, it's just about Krishna. So whether there's an obstacle or not, then it's just about Krishna. So therefore, what's not to be nice? Yeah, so therefore, those managers, they're special, right? And one of those managers, they have a samadhi at the Jagannath Mandir for, like that, because he was like that. He could run the Ratha Yatra, hundreds of devotees coming to their temple, right? The temple generally has 30, 40, 50 devotees. Hundreds show up, organizing that, prasad, the whole thing. And he's just jovial the whole time. He's happy the whole time. Like you see other faces sometimes, then the Ratha Yatra, you know, that real serious look and that. He's there just smiling and just doing whatever and like that. So that's the thing. But it's not that he wasn't a good, he was a damn good manager. You know, whatever needed to be done. And even though he was the temple president, could do all that, he would drive a taxi to make money because that was before the big books distribution and all that. You know, so it just, they would just do the needful. They just saw it as service. So as long as you're engaged in service, that's nice. But if you think, I do this, then I can sit back and enjoy, then it'll never happen. So the service is the enjoying. So if we think that I will arrange it, then enjoy it, then it won't happen. But if we see the service as enjoyment, then whether it's more management or more just taking part, then it'll be service. So.
Yeah, because I was thinking that in the beginning, as a sadhakas, or say vaidhi, you know, sambandhavide and prayojana, it's very clear, it's very distinguished. But then, the further we go, the more, you know, the one comes back to another and then expands from that side. And then we see here, in this pastime, prayojana and abhidhaya actually is one thing.
Yes. I give you an interesting example. So, you know, coming from the particular backgrounds, you know, that we, how you say, found yourself in, then when you come in, you know, let's say if you did eat rice, you know, you ate it with a spoon, and if there's some vegetables, then you ate some rice, you ate some, you know, some salad, just with a spoon, like this, like that. Then you come to India, and then you figure out, okay, you eat rice and vegetables with your fingers. And so you just kind of get them together enough that you can kind of put them in your mouth. You know, take the vegetable and kind of, you know, grab some of that and get, see what you can get in your mouth without, you know, that means maximum gets in your mouth, minimum gets all over you, like that. Then one day I'm sitting there with Nitai Chandmash, you know, local Bengali, right? Born here, raised here. And he was the president. And I was eating with him. And then after some time, I noted that he really would mush the vegetables and the rice together, right? Not just enough that you could pick it up, but actually really mush it together. Take a bunch, you know, I would just take a little bit of that, another, and then just that much eat, but he'd take a little more sabji and a little more rice and then mush them together really, really nicely. I mean, not just a little bit, like homogenous kind of nicely. And I said, and I asked, why do you do that? And he said, try it. So then I took some and I mushed it up like this and that, and then tried it. And the taste is incredibly greater. I mean, like ridiculously great. Not just like a touch greater. It's like night and day better. And so then, you know. So, yes. So that the more it becomes non-different, the more the taste. But the acharyas are able to take it apart part by part to show what's going on. But at the same time, its presentation is completely together. So Prabhupada simply makes that completely homogenized presentation. And the acharyas then analyze it to take it apart. Right? Like that. So it's whatever Prabhupada's talking about, they're talking about, but he'll just present it in that fully homogenized state. So we get that. But with them, you should have already understood something from another commentary before. So in other words, Sridhar Swami said something. So according to that, then they're making a comment. So they won't repeat what he said. But Prabhupada will repeat what everybody said and bring it all together in one nice presentation. Is that...
Material platform, more you control, more you enjoy. And spiritual, more you control, less you enjoy. Because, can we say that, again, another point you said, service has to be enjoyed. Because...
Well, we're talking about this in applying here. It's not that there. Is that the aspect of... it's another... What we're meaning is, as you try to control it, then you won't enjoy. Because that's... It's our idea that if not... I didn't say that in the material world, the more you control, the more you enjoy. We have the idea that the more I control, the more I'll enjoy. Because we can see is the more they have, the less anxiety, the more anxiety they're in. So technically, they're not enjoying more. But because this is what it's supposed to be, therefore...
Yes. And one more thing is, they are seeing both service and the enjoyment separate. In material.
Yes, you see that you do the service, then we'll enjoy. Just like you work hard like a donkey your whole life, and you'll put things away, and then when you're older, then you'll retire and just enjoy life and everything like that. At least that's what they tell you. You know? But one is the money you put away by the time you get to there. The inflation is such it's not worth anything. And, you know, you're too old to enjoy anything anyway.
Yes.
So, like that. So, yeah. Srila Vishnanacharya, we do have another minute. How much do we close here? Okay, let's see. Because of Krishna's equal enjoyment with all the gopis, there arose within the chief of the gopis, the daughter of Vrishabhanu, a haughty feeling with anger in her eyes. As well within all the lesser ranking gopis, there arose a feeling of pride in their good fortune. When this different mood arose, Krishna solved the problem as explained in this verse. Tasam, which generally means of them, can also divide it into ta and sa, indicating them of the women of Raja and she of Radha. Thus, the phrase should read, seeing the pride, saubhanga madam, of the women of Raja, and the anger, manam, of Radha. Another meaning is tam saubhaga madam, instead of tat saubhaga madam. In order to nullify the pride of the women, and give mercy to the angry Radha, Keshava disappeared. This will be further described later. So then this particular word of Madame, you know, being related to ladies goes way back, right? Right? So in other words, Radharanis became upset because they're all being treated equally. And the other ladies are becoming proud because of their position. So now everything will be adjusted. That's what's happening here. Yeah? Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi.